Today's scripture comes from Luke 6:37-42. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
We're on to the word equally. We're sinners called to forgive. And guys, this is such an important word. Every week it's an important word, but this one is pretty important. I think this is one that calls to our church's identity and purpose in a very crucial way. I want to be a kind of church where we would know that we're sinners, but wouldn't be cowards about it. And here's what I mean, because, like, you know, we step to this judgment game, right? And oftentimes what happens is like, oh, yeah, man, you know, when that person drank, I feel bad that they did that. You know, they're a church leader. They shouldn't be doing that. But I used to drink back in the day, and so I'm going to be silent and not say anything. But, Pastor, didn't we just learn about, you know, not judging and all this stuff? I'm going to get into it, okay? Bottom line, there's stuff that we're supposed to do when we encounter sin in other people's lives. And it can't look like inaction. It's supposed to look like love. It's supposed to look like a very hard kind of love where you forgive the offender, but you also restore the offender. Ooh, that's a long process, Pastor. You're asking too much. You just got here. You know it, man. But before we get into it, man, I really need to talk to you guys about some issues of discernment. And this is just to kind of make sure that our mindsets are in the right place before I give you the word, because, look, we come with all sorts of baggage, all right? And the first one that I want to address is this equal worth as an American thing. I just want to, you know, no political agenda. I'm half black. I love civil rights. I'm not trying to knock America and stuff, okay? But what I will say is the way that our nation is set up, the way that our culture is. When we walk into the church, the first thing that we think with issues of equality is that we're equal because we're Americans, not equal because we need the dead body of Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. So let me ask you this. When you go to heaven, man, you think that everybody's going to be walking around like, oh, it's so good to be a part of the family of God because we're American? No, that's not going to happen. Jesus is going to be like, no, okay, I love America. I have a flag in my den, but that's not why you're here. You're here because I died for you, okay? Which gets us into equally, we are weak. We are weak because of sinners. We need to view equality in this way when you walk into this room, right? Look around and expect people to be sinners. Y'all suck. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. But just acknowledge we're all weak. We're all weak. Which leads us to the next thing. And that's a hard ask. We're equally called to forgive. Equally called to forgive. Just because we're all sinners doesn't mean we don't have to actually do some work about it. It always, always, always starts with forgiveness. Perhaps we'll move to reconciliation. But you got to forgive. Got to. Okay? Now, the reason why this is something of utmost importance is because I want us to be this kind of church. Whole purpose of this sermon. I always give the answer before I preach. The whole purpose of this sermon is to be a church that sees. And here's the thing. If Jesus is saying, don't judge, don't condemn, but forgive, and then he launches into a parable about the blind leading the blind, about how you should be like your teacher, teacher Jesus, the one who forgives, then that would suggest if we judge, if we condemn, and if we don't forgive, it's like we can't even see each other. Look around, church. Equal because forgiven by the Lord. But if you don't see that, then I mean, what are you basing all of your interactions on? Everything can be called into question if you're blind spiritually. Pastor Eric, you said you weren't going to spiritually spank us, man. This is taking make a hard left turn. I'm sorry, okay? Sometimes I get excited and it comes off as really serious. I still love you guys. I'm just trying to present the truth, okay? We want to be a church that sees. How many of you guys are Richard Pryor fans? One, I love it. Two, I love it. Man, I'm so relevant. There's this movie, I believe it's called See No Evil, and in this movie, Richard Pryor is blind, okay? And he's having a conversation with his sister, and at the end of the conversation, this blind man finds out for the first time that he's black. And so there's this whole hilarious scene, he was like, what? I'm black? Nobody told me, you know, like Richard Pryor being him. Okay, updated version. Clayton Bixby from friggin' Chappelle's Show. He stole that bit from Richard Pryor, or appropriated that bit from Richard Pryor, okay? My brothers and sisters, why am I pointing out black men forgetting that they're blind or not knowing because they're blind, okay? Not knowing that they're black, I messed up. I'm going to move on. I'm pointing that out because we would be just like that if we're a church that doesn't know how to forgive. I don't want to revisit my family drama and the friend that betrayed me and all those girlfriends and boyfriends and all this kind of stuff. Sorry, man. You want your eyes back? You got to forgive. You got to forgive. There's this cool story. I read it in this book called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. Any R.T. Kendall fans? I thought a guy was raising his hand. He rubbed his face. Oh, he juked me out. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there's this book about forgiveness, okay, and he tells this story. There are these two elders driving in a car, and they're doing what elders do. They visit church crises, handle church business, and one of the things that happened was a church member was caught in adultery. And so what they did, they decided we're going to drive together, head over there, counsel this person. Cool. But on the way, the elder that was driving turned to the elder in the passenger seat and was like, hey, can you imagine yourself falling to the same sin as the man we're going to visit? And the passenger's answer was this, no way. I can't believe that he would do such a thing. Oh my gosh. Totally normal response. Here's the abnormal response. The elder in the driver's seat, busts the U-turn, heading back to church. Why? He tells the elder in the passenger seat, because that was your answer. You are not qualified for this visitation or for the conversation that will happen afterwards. Here's the thing, folks. When it comes to this thing called judgment, oftentimes we take on the wrong posture. How many of you guys, when you know you're right and somebody else is wrong, you get on your soapbox, start wagging your finger, because in your eyes, boom, your authority's way up here. You have the absolute right to tell this person what they should be doing. It's an issue. The big thing here, my brothers and sisters, is that when you take that posture over somebody, I mean, it's not totally lost, but it's very close to being lost, because when you take that posture, you are not ready for love or relationship. And that takes you 100% out of the worship you are called to give, to love God with everything, who calls you to forgive, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If judgment takes you out of love, you messed up on the first and second greatest commandment. I'm sorry. Just that simple. Quick math for you, spiritual math. That's what happens. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that when it comes to judging, there are two things that happen, okay? Number one, yeah, you take the wrong authority posture, okay? But number two, judges in this country, guess what? They get to pronounce judgment, guilty, not guilty, pay this fine, whatever, community service. They get to say whatever they want. You know, granted, they're probably qualified to do it. But afterwards, they separate themselves from the situation. How many of you guys, dang, I'm getting really accusational, I'm sorry, okay? I'm half black, sometimes I talk really directly, and then since I'm half Korean, sometimes I talk very passive-aggressively. but let me say this, all right? How many of you guys, when you judge, remove yourself from the situation as opposed to fixing the situation? Because here's the thing. In Christ's eyes, the one who died for you and forgave you your sin, in his eyes, you're supposed to pay that forward. So what does that mean? If you see a situation, and yeah, you can judge it for right or wrong, whatever, but if you don't step into the mix, you've made a mistake. You see, we're accountable. We're accountable for the body and blood of Christ. What he gave to us, we're supposed to give to other people. And so what that means is, if you see something that wasn't supposed to happen, somebody made a mistake, failed, sin, what have you, you need to carry what you've been given and love somebody through it. And for the purposes of the sermon today, it's got to start with forgiveness. It's got to start with forgiveness. I don't care if they didn't apologize to you. Oh, that's mean, but it's true. Jesus didn't say, wait till they apologize for you specifically for exactly how you were feeling in that moment when you heard, so that they take away your shame and embarrassment for them knowing you and your offense. Then you can forgive. He didn't say that. He says, you're blind if you don't forgive. Oh, Jesus, I love you. You're so cool, and you make me feel so popular from the pulpit. Here's the thing, guys. The one who tells us to do this, the one who's the judge with a capital J, he's the one that ultimately has all authority and power. So when we take this power position based on the authority of our knowledge of right and wrong, I want to make sure you guys remain in tune with the J, with the judge with a capital J, okay? Because from his perspective, he used his authority completely differently. Jesus saw your sin, came down and died for you, rose again, and continues to serve and build up humanity. Wow. Talk about taking responsibility for all of us and trying to push us through with love. That's what the true judge is like. Now, folks, we're going to skip that part. I thought nobody was going to read the passage, and so I put it in the slides. We're going to take a lesson And it's from King David and Shimei. I don't know if you guys know the story of when Absalom was like, David, dad, I'm going to take your throne. And then he did, because he's an awful child. I don't know. He had reasons. They weren't good reasons, but he did it, okay? And in this episode, I believe it demonstrates for us why we really need to take pause and not judge but forgive. Because in this situation, Absalom, he usurps the throne. And then King David and company, they flee the castle, flee the capital, all this kind of stuff for fear of their lives. Now, while they're making their way, this guy named Shimei comes. And how many of you guys know King Saul and King David didn't really get along? And Shimei was totally from King Saul's household, so he was like, King David, you suck! And, you know, starts throwing rocks. And this is exactly what you deserve, because King Saul was awesome, and you suck! You know, and he just kept going and going up to the point where King David's homies were like, you see, that guy needs a beat down. He's going to catch a fade. You want to see these hands? I'm going to cut off his head, King David. And King David's like, look, don't do that. Maybe God ordained this. Maybe I'm supposed to catch these insults. And so let him go. Let him go. All sorts of Game of Thrones type drama unfolds and people die and stuff. How many of y'all really loved the last season of Game of Thrones? Yeah, it sucked. So all sorts of Game of Thrones stuff happens, you know, and at the end of the day, King David is reinstated. He gets his throne back. And all the people of Israel, all the important heads of households have to show up before David and say, bro, I love you and I'll be loyal to you, okay? Everybody had to do this. And guess who had to come and do this? Shimei. Little rock-chucking bad man Shimei, okay? I couldn't think of other insults, all right? But this guy comes representing the house, and he's like, look, David, sorry. And I love David's response to what Shimei did. It was just so secure. Because everybody was expecting, oh yeah, man, he's going to get it. King David is king now. This fool's going to get his head lopped off, and we're going to laugh. Like, you know, people were expecting Shimei to get it, okay? But David said, look, nobody is going to die today. Don't I already know that I am king? How many of you will stand in your authority as children of God, secure that you forgive because you're supposed to forgive, a command that you carry out simply because I love Jesus. He loved me enough to die for me. He wants me to pay this forward. No problem. Every time, no problem. You see, the thing is, in this story, how beautiful things unfolded, where David humbled himself and later was exalted, that promise stands for you. Son, daughter of God, when you forgive, you're paving the way for the Lord's reconciliation. Do you not know that when you choose not to forgive somebody, you are keeping them in chains? It's just like cursing them. You're keeping them down. And I don't want to get too spiritual about it, okay? But you don't know how many demons I've cast out of people, and it all hinges on forgiveness. Folks, what I'm putting before you is this, and I know it's a big ask, but if you have faith that forgiveness matters because what Jesus did for you matters, shoot, you can get out there and forgive because you want to pave the way for the Lord's love. somebody does drugs, breaks into your car, steals all your money, you find out who it is, and you don't want to forgive. I don't know what other things people have done to you and you don't want to forgive. How many of you know that when Jesus encounters them face to face, he will look at them with love? And I get that because the wounds are so deep, there are some of you here that when I speak this, you hate me for saying this. And it's not that I'm telling you that you're wrong for hating me, but at the very least, take time to really consider what it is that you're angry about. I want you to understand what you're angry about. That's okay. And then give it to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, we're called to this simply because when it comes to what God is capable of, he will always fix the situation better than you can. And so when it comes to these situations, right, where, hey, man, I could easily take my soapbox and say, this is right, this is wrong, the first thing that we ought to do is give the judgment to the Lord. Not only does he know every single thing about the situation, he knows your side of the story and the other side of the story, he knows everything, but on top of that, he is capable of fixing it. So why not ask for his help right away? God, I'm not qualified to judge compared to you. The judgment is yours. I let it go. You handle it. You handle it. That sounds so free. That's our God. You can always ask him for help. Give the judgment to the Lord. He's going to be the only one the last day, right, who's going to be like, yeah, man, this should be judged this way. This should be judged that way. And all of humanity is going to be like, thanks for letting us help, but we know you did all the work, Lord. He's that awesome of a judge. Give the judgment to him. Which leads to the next thing, all right? Boom. Not only are we called to give judgment to the Lord, boom. We're called to say, I forgive every offense. All of them. All of them. I'm half black, grew up in LA. A lot of Korean folks like to use the N-word. I forgave those fools. See, that was the Korean passive aggressive. I forgave them, but they're fools. You get what I'm saying, though? Like, I'm just trying to relate. I was put in a lot of uncomfortable situations. Like, am I going to catch a beat down for just saying, hey, I'm black, don't use that word, that kind of stuff. All right? LA post-riot sucked for me, half Korean, half black, and everybody else who was half Korean, half black. But here's the thing. My offenses, you know, it's a cool story. It's influential. People will listen to it and be like, ah, he understands. Okay, there's authority in that. But that authority does not compare at all to the Son of God's authority. The one who calls me to forgive. The one who calls you, all of us, to forgive. And I want to remind you guys, okay, it's the difference between being able to see and not see from Jesus' perspective. If you're not ready to forgive, where are your eyeballs? You're not seeing the situation correctly. Dang, Pastor Eric, you keep saying forgive and I keep getting mad. Yep, it's going to go on for 20 more minutes. Just kidding. Just kidding. And I just want to point out, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to this issue of taking judgment and not forgiving, we're standing on an authority, we're standing on a power that just simply does not have the final word. Your offenses, they're going to fade. And the authority that you use to build on those offenses, twigs at best. ready to be blown over by the breath of God. We want to invite the presence of a God who is more holy than us and who is more loving than us, who will solve the situation where you are satisfied and your offender knows the Lord. And how many of you guys know the story of when Jacob and Esau reconciled? When Jacob saw Esau's face, he said, "Oh, it's like seeing the face of the Lord." Only in Jesus is there reconciliation that strong. And my brothers and sisters, if you want that sort of blessing, a blessing that heals marriages, a blessing that heals families, neighborhoods, communities, races, what have you, you have to forgive to usher that supernatural reconciliation in. You got to be this kind of church. We all need to be this kind of church. I know my church isn't perfect, but we're all blind if we don't do it. So, my brothers and sisters, we've reached the end of the sermon where I give applications with hopes that maybe you'll remember something, okay? Oh, I pressed the wrong button. Help. Help. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, man. That's me emphasizing we can't be blind, okay? I put the dot, 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 and I shortened that verse so that it could just say, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit? That's Jesus talking about you and me when we judge, condemn, don't forgive. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher, my brothers and sisters. This is stuff that Jesus would say to the Pharisees all the time. You guys are blind guides. You guys think you know the truth, but you don't. I'm the true teacher. That's what Jesus would say. But here's the thing. Isn't it cool that this is right in the middle of all the things that we're saying about not judging, and then right after this, is the part about, you know, taking the speck out of your eye so that you could help somebody remove the plank or whatever or vice versa, okay? Removing the plank from your eye so you could help the speck out in somebody else's eye. Could it be that Luke, led by the Holy Spirit, when he was writing this, he was like, yeah, man, this teaching belongs here, because he knew there's so many Pharisees in the church. Pastor Eric, have mercy. There's so many Pharisees in the church, though, that are blind because they won't forgive. They won't forgive. They're blind because they keep condemning. They're blind because they keep judging. They're not ready to forgive. They're not ready to love. They're not ready to reconcile. They're unable because they simply don't have the heart. It's true. Not because I said it. Jesus said it. So say that after you heard all my unpopular words, you're ready to live into this. You're ready to forgive. You want to know what the church is supposed to be. You want to know what our identity as children of God is supposed to be. Hey, we're called to be merciful like the Father is merciful. I'm down. Let's do this. Well, hey, here comes the applications. All right, here we go. And this is based off the whole process of, you know, removing the plank in your eye and removing the speck in the other person's eye. It's just getting into this process of actually helping people rather than just being stuck in judgment. Okay? So number one is this. Watch your power posture. It might be blinding you. All right? Really simply, you know, if I stand on my tippy toes looking down on you, I can't see everything the way I'm supposed to. I don't know. That's a bad illustration. Okay? I'm going to skip that. Watch your power posture. It might be blinding you. If you think you're so much better than somebody else, we know how that goes. You're going to miss something. Real quick, man, I remember what it was like for me when I chose to forgive my dad. Ooh, I just had all this pent-up teenage angst, man. My dad, you know, he's faithful to my mom, cool. He just had a bad attitude, and he would say things that would make me mad sometimes, okay? I remember he was talking about talking about the pimples on my face, and my mom was like, maybe he should use some special kind of soap, and like was asking my dad, maybe you should try it too, and he's like, my face isn't messed up like Eric's, and I'm like, oh, daddy, I remember this. I'm 36, and I remember this. This happened in my teenage years. I was like 14. Okay, like, I don't know. Just whatever reason, I had all this pent-up aggression towards my dad, all right? And the Lord ministered to me, showed me exactly why I needed to forgive, because I was basically this dude who used all the blame, right, that I was shoveling onto my dad. I was using all that blame and clothing myself with it and feeling so prideful and confident because it rested on the blame of my dad. God showed it to me so clearly. And he showed it to me so clearly that it spooked me, man. When it happened, I was like, no, man, I don't want it to be that way. I don't want to forgive. I got really scared, okay? But then I forgave. That happened about 10 years ago. It was night and day. So much to the extent, my brothers and sisters. Like, if you knew my life and you knew the people that I walked with, if you knew the folks who did awful things to their siblings, awful things to their friends, awful things to themselves, to the point where most people would look at them and be like, wow, man, that's an unforgivable piece of trash. You should just let them die and go to hell. I'm serious. You'd be like, wow, like, Pastor Eric, how'd you do it? And I'd be like, it's because I forgave as the Lord forgave me. I know the things in my life that I think are unforgivable, but God forgave me. How much does it cost me to forgive the unforgivable in other people then? So yeah, man, watch that power posture number two. Two out of three. Here we go. Number two. Proclaim the gospel over all sins, yours and others, and forgive. Because that's the only reason this can work, people. It's the only reason. It rests on Christ's command. And what's amazing is it rests on the one who knows exactly what it costs to give forgiveness. I mean, take your pick. You want to wear a crown of thorns? You want to have somebody put on a robe and laugh at you and beat you up? You want to die naked? You want to suffocate to death on a cross? Like, all the things that he took to pay for our sin and iniquity, I can't even imagine. Can't imagine the cost. But the glorious thing about it, this is the authority you have as children of God. This is the authority. You can look at any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. And remember the body and blood of Christ and speak forgiveness into that situation. Because you rest assured, I needed that blood for me. I needed a dead body that I might live. And it just so happens that this was the most loving, the most humble, the most worshipful, the most whatever superlative. That was Jesus. For you, for me, for everybody. So we need to start giving it away. Give away that forgiveness. See if it doesn't hit people. Classic story, St. Francis, I believe it was. Okay, my Christian history and random testimonies from my Christian history professor in seminary, they might be a little bit off, but there was some story about St. Francis that I remember, okay? where this guy, he was handing out money to the poor, all right? This guy, St. Francis, and his homies are just out there like, boom, you poor, you get a gold piece, all right? Just doing that, helping out people. And this guy comes up, and you know what? He was just greedy. He wasn't even poor. And he was like, St. Francis, man, I like need that whole bag. I need money. Give me that whole bag. And St. Francis was like, here. Gave it to him. And the way that he gave it to him, it was just so loving, right? Like, yeah, man, you're cool. I trust you. And the guy was taken aback. I mean, he was so hit by the grace of God, so hit by the love for somebody doing something so unforgivable. You see all the poor people around gathering money, and you just want all the money. What's wrong with you? No, St. Francis gives him the whole bag. Changed his life. Gave it to God. Knew how to use his money to benefit the people afterwards. And that's a good word for so many people in the church who don't know how to spend their money for God. Ooh, that's a whole nother sermon. You got to invite me back. No way. Unpopular. Just kidding. So number two out of three, blah, 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 proclaim gospel, blah, over sins and forgive. Okay, do that, all right? And last one, three out of three, build atmospheres of God's forgiveness and reconciliation. And this is the one that requires the most endurance. This is the one that requires the most patience. This is the one that requires the most faith. Because a lot of people, yeah, man, I could do it. I could do it. I'm a gangster in Jesus. And I'm just going to forgive, right? And they do it. Praise God that they do. But they don't wait to see the fruit of their action. And here's what I want to say, people. Just because you gave a forgiveness in an unforgivable situation, just because you did that, all right, praise God that you do, okay? But that doesn't mean that you can't hope for more. There's always more. You don't know how happy God is when you forgive. He wants to come closer to you. He wants to partner with you more because he's like, okay, this person gets what I did for them. How many parents are willing to do more for their kids when their kids actually show appreciation for what they do? And that's the Father's heart when we forgive. And so, you can expect him to move in impossible situations and to bring reconciliation in ways you would have never expected. I don't know how long it took my wife and I just moving in love and forgiving the crap out of one of my people that I was discipling, and ooh, he had such a pride problem, and ooh, he was just a bum. And ooh, we found out he molested his brother. It just got real. And ooh, we had to go report it. And yeah, we're called to forgive and to love. And guess what? Yes, reconciliation happened on so many levels. Because of this broken and mangled relationship in the family, there was so much healing for the siblings, so much healing for the single mom, so much healing for all the people who knew about it but didn't know what to do about it and just kept that toxic silence inside of them because it was an awful truth that they beheld. And so I stand on this story my brothers and sisters, telling you, yes, it's possible that when you live a forgiveness lifestyle, God can bring a reconciliation that you could never imagine. I was totally hopeless. I was dejected. I was depressed. I was rejected by the family. All these kinds of things happened when we were pursuing this. But what was the end of the story? Reconciliation. Dang, it happened. It's true. Ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth about it while she's carrying our baby. It was rough. But that's why I'm so bought into this forgiveness thing. You catch a victory like that, there's no turning back, man. You're like, dang, God is real. Dang, God can make reconciliation like this happen. Let me do it again. After I'm done with 2 or 3 months of therapy, though, right? But that's okay. If you get hurt, rest up, heal. But get back in the game. So, my brothers and sisters, I come to you with this message that requires a lot of faith. At the very least, what you can do is give up thinking that you're better than other fools. You're a fool too, all right? Just other people haven't caught you. Learn to proclaim the gospel. That requires faith. Learn to proclaim the gospel over their sins and yours and move into forgiveness. Remember the broken, perfect body of Christ. And then wait, wait, wait. Hope and wait for what God wants to do in a church where people actually see each other the way Jesus sees this church. Blood bought and precious, all